This is Gloria Minot Presents.
The book is Tribe on Homecoming and Belonging. The author is Sebastian Younger. Good morning and welcome back to the program.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for joining me. You argue in your book that when soldiers come home from war, there's a loss of community. Aren't they coming back to communities when they return home? How are these communities different, or are they?
Well, yeah, I mean, the book really approaches the broader topic of what happens in modern society to our communal preference. I mean, we evolved as a species to live in small groups, and we no longer do. And that affects soldiers, but it really affects everybody. And the soldiers and Peace Corps volunteers, other people who have lived overseas, have an experience of a very, very close communal connection in a platoon, Peace Corps volunteers in the small village in the developing world. And then when people come back, whether they've been traumatized or not, and obviously most soldiers have not been traumatized, they're not combat units, but still they come back and they have this incredible readjustment problem precisely because of the lack of sort of communal existence in modern society.
So much has been coupled with the term PTSD. Can a nice bow be tied around this to explain the myriad of issues that returning veterans face?
Well, people, you know, because of the current wars, people think only soldiers experience PTSD, but obviously that's not true. I mean, anyone who's had a car accident, those poor people in the nightclub in Orlando, anyone who's seen a taxi hit a pedestrian, you know, I mean, life is traumatic to everybody eventually. And humans are wired, we evolved as a species to cope with trauma extremely well. We have an initial reaction that protects us, and we startle easily. We have nightmares that remind us of the danger. We have all these adaptive responses. But in the vast majority of cases, after a few weeks or months, those reactions go away. What's interesting about modern society is that the rate of mental illness is so high. As wealth goes up in society, the suicide rate tends to go up, the depression rate tends to go up, and of course PTSD also does.
What is it about the battlefield that binds combatants together, make them display some of the most admirable traits during a conflict that they seem to lose in practice? In one instance, you cited a sociologist, Emil Durkheim, in explaining. Talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, I mean, Emil Durkheim was the grandfather of modern sociology, and he found in the late 1800s that European countries that were at war experienced a drop in their suicide rate in the population. After 9/11 in New York City, I live in New York, and after 9/11, the suicide rate went down. And, you know, it was a massively traumatized city. But the suicide rate went down. The murder rate, violent crime, even PTSD in Vietnam vets traumatized from the war said that their symptoms decreased after 9/11. There seems to be a very hardwired response, human response to trauma, which is that if things are bad, my community needs me, and it gets people to sort of overlook their personal struggles. As one official said, in London during the Blitz, they expected the psychiatric rates to skyrocket. In fact, admissions to psych wards went down during the bombings. And one official said, you know, we have neurotics driving ambulances.
You're no stranger to war. Please take a moment to talk about being embedded with the late Tim Hetherington and how you came about putting together the documentary Restrepo. Would you take this moment to tell us about that experience?
Well, I wanted to make a film and write a book about a platoon in combat. You were asking about the experience in the battlefield. A platoon is 40, 50 people in a harsh environment, only reliant on one another for their survival. They do everything together, eat, sleep together, missions together. That's basically our evolutionary past. And I was embedded in just such a unit. And I wanted to do these projects. And eventually I started the great luck to work with Tim. He started shooting video about 5 months into the deployment, and we both, alternated trips with video cameras to document their experience of this platoon in combat. We made a movie called Restrepo about the experience of being a soldier. It was a very, I have to say, it's the only time I've been covering wars for decades, but it's the only time I've really been part of a group in a survival situation. And it was a very, very profound experience.
And Tim Hetherington succumbed to the ravages of war, going out again to cover the stories he loved and to bring the information to the rest of us.
Yeah, Tim and I were supposed to be on assignment together in Libya during the beginning of the Civil War, and I couldn't go at the last moment. I couldn't go for personal reasons. And he went on his own, and he was killed in the city of Misrata on April 20.
Finally, how did your background in anthropology lead to the writing of this book?
Well, I start with this idea that I had. When I was young, I had a mentor named Ellis, who was half Lakota Sioux, half Apache. And he said, along the frontier throughout the course of American history, white people were always running off to join the Indians. But the Indians never ran off to join the white people. People go native, but they don't go civilized. And my whole life, I sort of wondered about this sort of like this idea that civilization, for all of its benefits, is actually, in human terms, deeply unappealing. And what appeals to people is close communal connection and cooperation with one another. I mean, that's what we're wired for. And clearly, when circumstances force us to act that way, we thrill to it. I mean, people really, really like that experience. So much so that, for example, after the Blitz in London, people said they really missed the Blitz. And obviously, they didn't miss the bombing and the death, but they missed the close communal connection that those hardships required. And, it's one of the ironies of the modern age that this great affluence, and I mean, it brings so many good things, it's not undervalue it, but this great affluence actually allows us to lead very individualistic lives that, in human terms, are actually a diminishment of what we are.
Tribe on Homecoming and Belonging. Sebastian Younger, it's always a pleasure speaking with you. Take care.
Thank you very much.
Bye-bye.
www.gloriaminot.com